Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word SHOW, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text SHOW to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, Hour 2.
Greetings, conversationalists across the fruited plain of America. It's Eric Erickson here, across America, my show, coming to you from Augusta, Georgia, where I've been at the Masters. I'll go back this afternoon after the show. The phone number, we can't take calls today, but if you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can follow me around. And in particular, you can follow me on Instagram, where I can't put up pictures from inside the Masters, but I'll put up related pictures and other stuff, and I'll be cooking this weekend too. Plus, I got the Masters catering package for Sunday to watch the Masters at home, so I'm sure I'll put that stuff up. Text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. If you're here for the first hour, I mentioned at the end this shift that's happening in schooling, and I need to play for you some audio, and I got to set the stage for you. I am a native of Louisiana. I graduated from public school in Louisiana. I graduated from public school in the 90s. And I will never forget. I'd grown up overseas in a really, really good school. It was a fantastic school. We moved back to the States before the Gulf War started. I started 10th grade in a private school. It was about a 30-minute drive from our house. After the first semester, gas prices got up to the exorbitant price of like $1.25 or so back then. And my parents were like, it's too expensive to keep you driving back and forth 30 minutes both ways, going to school, this small school. And I didn't particularly care for the school anyway. But then they moved me into public school, and it was an eye-opening experience. It was an eye-opening experience. Loved the teachers, didn't make a lot of friends. The friends that I had, I still like these friends. I one of them in particular, like a sister. But I remember my very first week in school in 10th grade in this class, and I'm in an English class, and one person doesn't know what the word committee is, and someone literally, I'm not making this up, didn't know what the word liberty meant. That was my entryway into public education in Louisiana. Public education in Louisiana is not fantastic. It has never been fantastic. I lived in one of the poorest parishes, Louisiana's parishes, not counties, East Feliciana. I got the biggest high school graduating scholarship to ever have been given in the high school and went the furthest away from home to go to college. There were wonderful people that I went to school with who had never been beyond the state line of Louisiana, except maybe into southern Mississippi. And I was going multiple states away to go to college on a large academic scholarship. A lot of my friends went to LSU. LSU is a great university, and it's fun. I used to love going home in the summer and had friends who would go to LSU. I'd hang out with them. My buddy Elmer lived in a fraternity house. I would basically live in the fraternity house with him for parts of the summer until my parents would tell me to come home. But education in Louisiana, it's never been fantastic. And in New Orleans in particular, it's been terrible, except there was one silver lining in education in New Orleans after Katrina came through. It so devastated New Orleans, the public schools couldn't open, and they handed education by necessity, by need, they handed it over to the Catholic diocese. And the kids in New Orleans got a good education for the time that the Catholic diocese was in charge of their education. and it showed discipline in schools and routine matters. Because there is a pervasive thinking, and I'm sometimes guilty of it myself, that kids in failing homes who are struggling to eat in the morning, who are staying up all night dodging bullets and drive-by gang shootings in areas riddled with crime, they're not going to be able to come to school, they're not going to be able to learn, and the New Orleans nuns showed it could be possible for them to get a good education, and then it all went away. And ever since, there's been agitation for school choice in Louisiana. And Bobby Jindal, as governor, was able to push through school choice, barely. It was fought by the unions. It was fought by the public sector. It was fought by the public teachers. It was fought, and he pushed it through barely. But now there's an effort in Louisiana to expand to universal school choice, because in Louisiana, the school choice provision that Bobby Jindal was able to pass, with barely enough votes to get it passed, it was a means-tested public school, means-tested universal school choice program. So it wasn't completely universal. It was means-tested. And so now in Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, the Democratic governor, is gone. The Louisiana Republicans control the legislature. There's now Jeff Landry as the Republican governor of Louisiana. And they're trying to pass universal school choice. Six Democrats in the Louisiana House joined the Republicans to pass it, 71-32. It's not a coincidence Jason Hughes is one of the Democrats who sided with the Republicans, because Hughes represents a poor person, poor portion of New Orleans whose students benefited from the Catholic diocese after Katrina. He took to the well of the House in Louisiana, a chamber I know well, I've been to many times. Listen to him.
I know the political ramifications for me of voting for this bill, but I don't need this $16,800 a year job bad enough to watch our children to continue to live in poverty and trapped in failing schools and not try to do something. In any event, I'm not reelected. This is what I know. My steps are ordered. This is what I know. My heart is pure. This is what I know. I came here to do tough things. I came here to make tough decisions. And I came here to put children first. And for each and every one of you who know me, you know my heart, and you know my heart for children. So, Mr. Speaker, today, my vote will be in favor of this bill. And it's a vote for our children, because for them, it's a fight worth fighting. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You hear that applause at the end. That's a sound of a dam breaking across America as more and more, and it tends to be younger black men coming around on school choice. And then there's Justin Wayne, Democrat in Nebraska. He decided as a Democrat to side with the Republicans. Now, Nebraska technically has nonpartisan, but everybody knows who the Democrats and Republicans are. They needed 33 votes to avoid a filibuster to pass the legislation in the unicameral legislature of Nebraska to get it to the governor. And Justin Wayne, Democrat in the Nebraska legislature, gave them the votes to override the filibuster.
But colleagues, my district can't hope that things will get better tomorrow. We've been saying that for the last 8 years. We pass bills and school districts refuse to implement. So my community can't wait another generation of hope for their children to have a high quality education. The Those parents are reaching out and trying to figure out what is best. We have waiting lists at Jesuit Middle School. We have waiting lists at Nelson Mandela. Those are private schools. People are looking for an alternative. And if we care about kids, if we say we want what's best for kids, then get rid of the politics of it and let's just give them a chance. Let's give their family a chance that every mother and father is wanting for their kid, a better opportunity.
Remarkable. That's Justin Wayne, Nebraska senator on the Democratic side. It's huge, huge movement on this issue around the nation. It is the civil rights issue of our day. The dam is beginning to burst in my state of Georgia. We passed a small school choice measure. Won't benefit a lot, but of those who will benefit, they'll get good benefit. And you know, so many people said, well, it's not a lot of money. They don't realize there are plenty of private schools that actually aren't expensive private schools where it will make a difference to rescue kids. Texas is a holdout. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the attorney general there, the lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick, they've been campaigning against Republicans in the state house who oppose school choice, and they've been winning. The dam is starting to break. It's a good thing. This, again, it is the civil rights issue of our day. Will we destine kids because of the zip code in which they live to go to failing schools solely because of the zip code in which their parents brought them into this world? The dam is starting to burst. And this gives me hope because, you know, more and more data is coming out about all the kids who are falling behind because of COVID, who were in schools that shut down. And it turns out in the private schools in those areas, if they could have gotten in school choice, they could have stayed open. They could have gotten an education. In red states around the country, they were able to get an education. But in blue states and in blue parts of red states where they shut down schools, they didn't open schools, they kept schools closed, they opened them, they shut them down, they opened them, they shut them down, kids fell behind. You and I both know progressives are going to want a government bailout of the kids who have continued to fall behind because of the Democratic policies. The best bailout is to bail them out of public school and get them into private schools where they can get a better education. It just makes sense to do it. And here you have two Democrats. And I don't think it's a coincidence. They're younger black men in their respective legislatures. By the way, I got to say Jason Hughes's voice, fantastic. I love that New Orleans accent. They're putting points on the board for kids. So often, members of legislatures, Democrats in particular, say, I'm doing it for the children. I had that guy on my city council when I was on city council. It didn't matter what it was always for the children. This really is for the children. This really is for their future. This really is for an improvement of an education. It really is a coalition. I don't care if these guys ever vote Republican again. They voted for school choice. They voted for their children's future. And they should be applauded by all of us. And in some cases, are going to be attacked. We have in Georgia, a female black Democrat who voted to support the Republican school choice initiative. And the white progressives in the legislature ran her out of the Democratic Party. The white progressives whose kids go to private schools ran this black mom out of the Democratic Party because she wanted to give her kids a chance to have a better education. The Democrats are so hostile to the idea. And so this state representative who may actually lose her district now because she's running as a Republican in a Democratic area, she may get chased out of the legislature because she stood on principle and conviction to stand up for school choice, to improve the educational opportunity for kids. And progressive white Democrats hate it because progressive white Democrats do not want black kids in their white kids' private schools. And that ultimately is what it's all about. It's racism from white progressive Democrats who do not want to give poor black Democratic children born into zip codes with failing schools a fighting chance. And it's the Republicans who are fighting for those kids.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. Phone number 877-973-7425. If you text the word data, D-A-T-A, to 33777, you can subscribe to the paid portion of my daily email that includes the show notes and get a 15% discount off by being a listener of the program. Text data to 33777. Listener Debbie has emailed me. She wanted to know if I can give a state of play. I mentioned Texas. What is the state of play of school choice in Texas? It's this. It didn't pass. The governor called multiple special sessions to get it passed, and it failed. So they went into a primary, and the governor and others found Republican challengers to challenge the Republican members of the legislature who oppose school choice. And I want to say in like two-thirds of the cases, they were able to either win or get them into runoffs. And I don't think the runoff election has happened yet. But they're making progress in Texas. The governor has personally invested himself in trying to get school choice passed as a winning campaign issue. And I think he's right. I think it's got to be done. And good for Greg Abbott for showing leadership there. There were a lot of people who thought Greg Abbott was going to embrace school choice as a political issue and then drop it when it was no longer convenient. And credit to him, he has stuck to his guns. In fact, you know, Greg Abbott, probably even more so than Ron DeSantis, deserves a lot of credit for making immigration and illegal immigration such a big issue. He showed the foresight to push illegal immigrants, bust them into other states, to Democratic areas where the Democrats were dismissive of it being an issue. And it forced the issue before voters in those states that had been dismissive of it because it was Texas's problem. It was nobody else's problem. But because of Abbott's foresight on getting people into these other areas of the country, he exposed them to the problem. And he's kept the fight up on school choice. It's been very commendable of him. There are many people who will criticize Abbott, and while I may or may not have concerns of him, I do on occasion. He's actually held their feet to the fire on this issue. And I suspect, given what he's done, you will see Republicans get school choice in the next year in Texas, assuming the Republicans win, which I think the GOP is going to win in November in Texas. You know, the Democrats, it's like Republicans used to always have a wish cast that somehow they would win in California, they would win a California election, and Democrats have felt the same way about Texas. I don't think it's going to be the case in Texas. I think the GOP will win. I think Ted Cruz is safe, and in fact, most political prognosticators at this point think Cruz is safe. He may be a slightly weaker candidate than another Republican, but he's going to win in Texas. Cruz is going to win. He's got a good ground operation. And I think the Republicans next year can pass school choice finally in Texas. That'll be a good thing. One of the groups that's helping them, one of the groups that's around the country fighting for school choice, is Americans for Prosperity. One of the things they did is they trained their volunteers to be door knockers for their neighborhoods. So they were going not to strangers, but to the neighbors they know and explaining to them what their state legislator was doing with school choice, whether they were for it or against it. They were explaining why it was a good cause and why it should be supported and why their legislators should support it. And they educated voters and they put points on the board. They want you on their team. You don't necessarily have to knock on your neighbor's door or anybody else's door. Just you can get really informed, get the facts, get the information, and get the training to be an effective conservative activist. All you have to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org/Eric. AmericansForProsperity.org/ERIC. Sign up with Americans for Prosperity. Learn how to be a grassroots activist. They'll teach you how to go to your state
legislature, how to go to your city council, your school board, or just to talk to your neighbors in an informed way with facts and information so you can be trusted and relied upon to get everything right for everybody who wants the right information. AmericansForProsperity.org/ERICK. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Glad to have you with me today from Augusta, Georgia, as I am itchy to go back to the course after the show. But I've been meaning all week to mention this to you, and I'm going to do it here. Scatterbrain thoughts here as I keep checking in on the scoreboard too, on the leaderboard. I have found a TV show I want to recommend to you. You know, it just random aside, it's a Friday. I'm allowed. It's my show. So, no, in all seriousness, so I've recommended TV shows, that, like, for example, Slow Horses on Apple TV. You got to have Apple TV Plus. But Slow Horses on Apple TV Plus is an incredible show. It's one of my favorites. It's now 3 seasons. They're doing the 4th season. Gary Oldman is my favorite actor, and he's the lead in the show, and it really is a phenomenal show. I love Slow Horses. But while we were on vacation, I was looking for something to watch, and I've had so many people recommend to me an FX Hulu series called Shogun. I remember when I was a kid, Shogun was a miniseries on, I forget what networks, ABC, CBS, I can't remember. I can vaguely, in my head, picture like the promotional artwork for Shogun. It's based on a book from the 1970s, and the story is a true story, based on a true story. They take some looseness with the facts, but so essentially in the late 1500s, this is history for people who remember history as it is, not as they want it to be. In the late 1500s, Spain and Portugal had basically divided up the world. Spain could go west, Portugal could go east, and they agreed on a couple of things. They would not share their knowledge of the Magellan Straits around the bottom of South America. And they would not share, particularly the Portuguese, would not share the location of Japan. Wouldn't do it. So now think about this. This is, I mean, well before real modernity. These are sailing ships with sails. The Portuguese know a route. They've built the Portuguese empire. They built a trading route. You know, when the Portuguese, just random true history for you, when the Portuguese got to the southern tip of India and they brought their Catholic missionaries, they were shocked to be met with Christians in southern India. Like, no one had been to southern India, so they thought, except they said there was this guy named Thomas who had walked to India, probably actually was on a ship, but it was you know, remember Doubting Thomas from the Bible? It was him. His body's in India. Like we don't know it's him for sure, but it's in a tomb dedicated to him, and a DNA testing is of someone who's from the Middle East from around, like, 33, 35, 50 AD, and so it appears to be him. And so there was this Christian sect, and they had some of the very early Christian letters that they had Christianity in southern India. It was a small population, but it was there. Blew the Portuguese minds, blows my mind. But the Portuguese set this up, and they were absolutely, absolutely guarded Japan, because Japan was full of riches, gold and silk and other things, and they put them on a trading route. Not only did they tell anyone, but if the Dutch or the British accidentally showed up in Japan, the Portuguese had them slaughtered by the Japanese. So in the late 1500s, a British sailor on a Dutch ship, which is part of a flotilla, sails west to avoid the Portuguese military, goes around the Straits of Magellan, which the British have now discovered was real, sails across the Pacific. By the time they get to Japan, instead of 500 guys on multiple ships, it's 5 living guys on one ship. The captain is dead. The British navigator for the Dutch is in charge of the ship. They come ashore, and they are taken captive. They do not speak Japanese, but they speak, one of them at least, the British navigator, speaks Portuguese. And a number of Japanese have converted to Catholicism because of the Portuguese, and speaks Portuguese. So he's able to converse And over time, the shoguns had faded away. So there's been an emperor in Japan since like 7 BC. There's been an emperor in Japan for thousands of years. But the emperors of Japan were always more religious symbols, and they dedicated the socio-political military guardianship of the country to the shoguns. Now, the shoguns couldn't stand without the support of the emperor, but the emperor had no power. He was really a puppet till the late 1800s. But there was a time where the shogun faded away. Well, this is during that time that this British sailor shows up in Japan and winds up teaching British naval tactics to a Japanese warlord who deploys the British naval tactics on land and becomes the next shogun of Japan. And this TV series, limited edition, it's like 10 total episodes, it's not completely out yet, there's like 7 or 8 episodes in, is the story that is documented in the book Shogun that's about that history. And y'all, it is riveting stuff. I will tell you this, this is not a TV show you can have on in the background, because there's a lot of Japanese, unless you speak Japanese. If you speak Japanese, leave it on in the background. If you don't, you got to read a lot of subtitles. So when they're speaking Portuguese, it's in English. When it's the Englishman speaking to people, they're speaking in English. But when it's the Japanese speaking to the Japanese, it's in Japanese. And over time, the Englishman learns more Japanese, so he begins speaking more Japanese. So there are more subtitles you have to read to get the show. But y'all, it's brilliant. It is so well acted. It is so well done. It is not excessively violent. There's not a lot of sex and nudity. There's not a lot of profanity. There's some violence. There's some sex. Not really, it doesn't go deep into it. There's some bad language, but it's, as I sneeze, it's great. It is a really, really good show. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I believe it's on FX. You can get it on Hulu. If you have a Disney Plus subscription, you can get it on Disney Plus. I cannot recommend. We are in such a brilliant age of television, and I don't watch a lot anymore. And what's so neat about it, I guess I could say, is that though I don't watch as much TV as I used to watch, when I do watch a series, it's so much better than so much of the old stuff that you would just nonstop watch on television. These streaming shows, this in particular, it really is a fantastic show. I did not intend to spend an entire segment talking about this. I actually had other stuff I wanted to talk about, but it's a Friday, and if y'all are looking for something to watch, Shogun on Hulu, FX, Disney Plus, it is really good. And on Apple TV Plus, Masters of the Air was incredible. I told you guys about that one, and about Slow Horses. Slow Horses, bad language alert, but my gosh. So, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned this before, but Apple, when it came out with its Apple TV Plus streaming service, intentionally, by design, modeled itself after HBO, where it doesn't have a ton of original content, but everything they have is very quality stuff. They ultimately, when HBO got sold to Discovery, whatever, the president of HBO left and Apple snagged him, and they've used him to curate their stuff. There are so many good shows on it. My wife does not watch a lot of TV, but even my wife has spent more time. There's this weird one right now called Palm Royale on Apple TV. I only just really started getting into it. Sugar's a new one, which is actually a really good one. And Michael Douglas is doing one on Ben Franklin. I haven't seen, I can't recommend it, but I've been really impressed with the Apple TV stuff. All that being said, Shogun is not on Apple TV. Shogun is on whatchamadiggy, on Disney Plus, Hulu, FX. Again, I didn't expect to spend this much time talking about this, so let me do a reset. Sorry. I'm going to do a reset, and I'll come back and actually get into new stuff, I promise. But before I do that, I've got to tell you about Old Glory Bank, my bank. Old Glory Bank is a great bank. Now, it's a digital bank. It's online. You're not going to go to a physical branch at Old Glory Bank unless you're in part of Oklahoma. But they're brilliant, y'all. They have no fees. so I can get my kids a checking account, a savings account. They're not going to get eaten up with fees. You can deposit cash at Old Glory Bank. This is one of the brilliant, genius things they came up with, is if you have cash, you can go to 85,000 retail locations around the country, including a CVS up the street for me, and you can give them your debit card, you can give them the cash, and you can get the money put into your checking or savings account with Old Glory Bank. And it just works. It really works. You can do mobile deposit for checks and stuff like that as well. It's oldglorybank.com. Oldglorybank.com. Started by conservatives for conservatives. It really is a fantastic bank. It's oldglorybank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And they make me tell you, terms and conditions apply. But y'all, I actually love banking with Old Glory Bank, and you will too. Welcome back. First of all, I got to apologize to all of the board operators who do this show that I went to commercial break so early in the last segment. It just, talking about Shogun and then, hey, now let's do the news. No, we needed it. We needed to do a reset. So we did a reset, but my apologies. It makes their life difficult, and I'm sorry to make their life difficult. I'll do better from here on out. There's some breaking news, though, that I have to deal with. Bloomberg News is reporting the Biden administration now intends to take larger portions of Alaska out of play for the development of oil and gas. And in fact, Bloomberg is reporting in some cases it may involve direct litigation issues to cancel leases with oil companies because the Biden administration wants to take that land out of circulation and out of development. This is from Jennifer Dulhey at Bloomberg News. Oh, now suddenly it's not letting me get back into it. It is 23 million acres in Alaska that they intend to take out of circulation for the development of oil and natural gas exploration, which is absurd. So here it is. The U.S. set aside 23 million acres of Alaska's North Slope to serve as an emergency oil supply a century ago. The Biden administration is moving to block oil and gas development across roughly half of it. Okay, so not 23, but half of 23 million. I went to law school. You do the math in your head. The initiative, set to be finalized within days, marks one of the most sweeping efforts yet by Biden to limit oil and gas exploration on federal lands. It comes as he seeks to boost land conservation and fight climate change and is campaigning for a second term. The changes wouldn't affect ConocoPhillips' controversial 600 million barrel Willow oil project in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, but oil industry leaders say the plan is more expansive than initially anticipated and threatens to make it nearly impossible to build another mega project in the region that spooked oil companies with holdings in the National Petroleum Reserve, which, along with the rest of Alaska's North Slope, was viewed as a major growth engine for the industry before the shale boom. Industry or interest has surged again in recent years, fed by mammoth discoveries. Tapping the region's reservoirs could yield decades of production. Company executives and Alaska lawmakers have increasingly raised alarm over the plan, saying it could thwart oil and gas development across much of the reserve, even on existing leases. The opposition has united a broad spectrum of foes, from Alaska natives to lower 48 oil producers. But Joe Biden, of course, doesn't care, because this placates the progressive left. Because of the rhetoric of the left, multiple people, a whole lot of Americans, have internalized we're all going to die in 10 years unless we do something. Yesterday I mentioned the head of the UN climate program says we got 2 years left, that stopping climate change must trump everything, including fighting poverty, improving education, expanding life expectancy, all this stuff. None of it is important unless we save the climate. We've got 2 years to do it. The left has bought into this stuff. They've bought into this. Now, this is going to lead to litigation because the North Slope in Alaska, as the story suggested, was set aside by Congress 100 years ago for oil exploration. Oil companies haven't done it because there's been enough oil elsewhere and fracking has yielded results. But ConocoPhillips put in a big mega project up there and it's yielding easily accessible, easily available oil. So there's clearly a lot to be had. And Joe Biden wants to take it out of circulation. Now, Russia's not taking its supplies out of circulation. Iran is not taking its supplies out of circulation. And the Biden administration comes back to this thing that we're producing more oil than we've ever produced before. But we were on trajectory to do that with Donald Trump until COVID hit. But there are a lot of oil companies that have not yet tapped into their leases because the Biden administration told all the oil companies he had designs to run them all out of business. It takes about 10 years to get your investment back when you start drilling wells, in some cases 20 years. The oil companies did not want to invest in these leases and new developments when Joe Biden was promising to wipe them out before they could get their money back. It was a bad investment. It yielded no benefit to shareholders to do it. Now he's taking out a large chunk of Alaska, and it's in our national security interest that he fail because he's trying to move people away from oil at a time that it only benefits Russia, Iran, and Venezuela and our enemies. He's making us less safe, and he's making our enemies richer because he wants to placate the progressive environmentalists who are anti-America. It has nothing to do with energy. It has nothing to do with climate. It has to do with their hatred of this country. They have internalized their hatred of America as the white colonizing power, and it's bad. What's so funny here is Alaska Native tribes are upset about this because they stood to benefit from the revenue being generated, but the Alaska Native tribes are in Alaska, a state that votes Republican, so Joe Biden doesn't care about doing anything for them in that state. Who cares that they are colonized, oppressed people, because they're colonized, oppressed people in a Republican state that's going to give Donald Trump their Electoral College votes, so screw them. According to Joe Biden, this is remarkable that we're at this point. But we are at this point because Biden is, as I have been pointing out to you, allowing the left to dictate the controls by which he governs in order to push the nation to the left. They're going for fundamental change in the country, daring Republicans to stop them. Now, of course, if Trump gets elected, he can undo some of this by executive order, but it's going to take time. And he's only going to be a four-year president. He's not going to have a potential for 8 years. So oil companies are going to have to wonder if they'll be able to get their investment back if Donald Trump does something to undo this. Let's say just hypothetically, Trump gets elected, he's able to undo this. Will oil companies be able to move in and get it done within 4 years? The answer is no. But will they be able to invest enough that the next Democratic president, if there is one after 4 years, won't be able to stop them so they'll be able to get their money back? This is a calculus they're going to have to come up with. And it is a tough game for these companies to play, but they're going to have to play it. We could be completely sufficient energy-wise. But the Democrats are so hostile to the idea of fossil fuels, they want to undermine us and undermine our energy productivity. And they're hiding behind this talking point right now that we're producing more than we ever have before. But we would be producing so much more right now if Joe Biden was not president and Donald Trump had been reelected, because he had a pro-oil, pro-fossil fuel, pro-energy plan. And the Democrats don't. They want to shut it all down. And now they're jeopardizing our national security to do it in Alaska.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.